May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 698. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn 698.
please God to bless the reading of his holy word to the profit of our souls. Let us turn to the Gospel of John and we'll read chapter 21. The Gospel of John and reading chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were gathered together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but, as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the nets to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple, whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. May God bless his word to us and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, ever blessed and eternal Lord God, unworthy as we are, we pray that as we pray, our prayers may be presented through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the Majesty on high. And gracious God, we pray that we may not pray in vain tonight. We may not be like those who just beat the air with their words. But we pray, gracious God, that as we unite in prayer, we may be as the heart of one man. And Lord, that true desire for the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Gracious God, we acknowledge thy great goodness in favouring us with the blessing and the privilege of being able to come together to worship on another Lord's Day evening. And Lord, we're conscious that most of us have met for many times on the Lord's Day to worship. Lord, perhaps many times we have to solemnly acknowledge they have not really been to worship. And Lord, therefore shame and confusion has been our lot. But Lord, we do desire that tonight, with every one of us here, it may not be like that, but that we may have come with that true desire that those Greeks of old had when they came to Philip and said, Sirs, we would see Jesus. O Lord, grant that this may be our central desire, our central concern. We pray, Lord, that all other things may be of secondary importance. Gracious God, come, we pray, and touch our hearts, move our spirits. May we know what it is to be blessed with that true fellowship with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord God, how we need thy favour, how we need thy blessing as we travel on in this sad world in which we live. Lord, so many things to distract us, so many things to distress us, and yet, Lord, we're thankful that the Lord is the same, yesterday and today and forever. Lord, we pray then thou would look upon us graciously in love to our souls. And Lord, as we've gathered here tonight, we earnestly pray there may be the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit amongst us. And Lord, that that Holy Spirit may therefore come and move and touch our hearts. Lord, we're hard-hearted by nature. Lord, our hearts are like a stone. We need you to come, Lord, and give us that heart of flesh, that new heart. Lord, deliver us from those things which mitigate against our God. Lord, those things which just look to the things of time, which so perish with the using. Lord, we pray that we may have sung that hymn from our heart tonight. And Lord, may it be true. Pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Art thou made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Lord, if we're a false Christian, Lord, if we're a hypocrite, if we're one that just has an outward show with nothing inside, gracious God, we pray, thy Holy Spirit may come and work powerfully in our hearts tonight. And Lord, if we do possess the wonderful grace of God, that which thou hast given us, that life in our soul, Lord, may we have cause to rejoice and to praise our God for thy wonderful favour and goodness toward us. And so, Lord, whatever condition we may be in tonight, Lord, we earnestly pray that thy Holy Spirit may come and visit our souls. Indeed, Lord, we pray for that wonderful blessing. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, oh, deliver us if we just possess a form. Lord, just that which satisfies the flesh. Oh, Lord, that which brings no honor and glory to God. Oh, we pray, Lord, for real things. Lord, how conscious we are of the shortness of life for every one of us, young and old. Lord, the day draws near, we know, for every one of us, when we must stand before the judgment seat of our God. And so, Lord, may this be a real concern to us, and that we may be found, therefore, amongst those who are true followers, those who do honour thee, those who do desire that thy great name may be lifted up and honoured and glorified. We think of those wonderful words that the Saviour declared, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We pray, Lord, tonight, that by faith we may view the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up, and Lord, our hearts, our souls, our very being may be drawn to the Saviour. Gracious God, oh, bless us, we pray. Leave us not, Lord, to be satisfied with just mere tradition. Lord, we pray for reality. We pray for the blessing of God in our souls above everything that this world can offer. Lord, how often we find the devil bemusing us and directing us away from the precious truths of God, directing us away from those things concerning the Saviour. But, oh, gracious God, we pray we may have, at least in measure, the desire that the Apostle Paul had when he said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death. Lord, we know the blessing of such things. And yet, Lord, also we know how by nature our old flesh shrinks from these things. But, oh, Lord, may we be overcomers through Christ. Oh, Lord, lead us into these great and blessed truths. And, Lord, may they be to us far more important than the things of our natural life. Lord, how often we are so concerned about our natural life, so concerned about this and that. But, oh, gracious God, grant our great concern may be to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, help us then to have a right and a blessed perspective of these things. Lord, how easily we find our hearts and minds sidetracked to the poor things of time, which we know will perish, one day would all be burnt up. We know, Lord, that in any event we shall have to leave everything here below. And so we pray for those spiritual blessings which are to be found in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to come crying unto thee from our very heart. Thou wilt remember us with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit our souls with thy salvation. Lord, give us a right understanding, a right appreciation of the great things of God. Lord, how we fail so often in our understanding. But Lord, give us that right desire, and Lord, to come to thee, to seek that thou wilt teach us and instruct us in the way that we should go. Deliver us, Lord, from being satisfied, living in the broad way, the way which is easy to our flesh. But, oh, grant us that wonderful grace to follow thee in that narrow way. Lord, to receive that wonderful gift of thy grace, to daily to take up our cross and follow a despised and a crucified man. Lord, help us to understand it. Help us to realize the wonderful, tremendous cost of our salvation. Lord, something that we shall never be able to repay thee for. But Lord, help us as we now live upon the earth, indeed to do that which is in accordance with thy holy word. Lord, deliver us from the fear of men which bring a snare. May we know the wonderful blessing of the fear of God. O Lord, that which is the beginning of heavenly wisdom. And so, Lord, we are privileged and thankful to be able to gather together tonight. Lord, to outwardly have left aside the things of time. And Lord, may also be inwardly to leave aside the things of time. Bless us then as we're here tonight. Bless thy word which we're able to read. Lord, we acknowledge thy great goodness in granting us the word of God in our own language. And that we're able to read the glorious truths of Scripture. And Lord, as we read the word of God, oh, do grant it may be the word of God to our souls. And Lord, that we may bow down under it. And Lord, acknowledge it is thy word speaking to our soul. And Lord, may there be no hindrances. And Lord, no stumbling blocks which, Lord, inhibit our obeying thy great and glorious voice. Lord God, how thankful we are that we find ourselves born into a Protestant nation. Perhaps, Lord, wonderfully blessed with being born into godly families. Wonderfully blessed to be able to gather together to worship thee with thy people. Lord, these are great blessings, and we desire we may really appreciate them. And Lord, acknowledge them to thyself for these favours. And so, Lord, as we do gather tonight and every time we gather, may it be that our souls are fed. We pray, Lord, that we may be hungry and thirsty. We think of those words of the psalmist as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We pray it may be so, that every one of us may be found panting after our God, oh, with that real desire to partake of that water of life, that bread from heaven. Lord, do feed us, we pray. Let us not be barren in the things of God. Lord, we confess often it seems like that. But Lord, thou canst send forth thy grace, that spiritual rain into our hearts. Lord, so there is that gracious growth. We pray, Lord, as we hear the word of God proclaimed, that we may be as that good ground that the seed falls into and, Lord, grows and bears fruit. Lord, may we ever realize the truth of thy word, which tells us, by their fruit ye shall be found, be known. And Lord, may we therefore be fruitful in the things of God for thy honor and for thy glory. Lord, then, remember us tonight when we think of the words of the dying thief. O Lord, remember me. Lord, may that be the desire of each one of us here tonight, that thou wilt remember me. Lord, we confess we're undeserving. We cannot claim any merit. But Lord, we would desire that the Lord Jesus Christ may be to us more precious far than earth and all its comforts are. And so, Lord, hear us then when we earnestly pray for these blessings. And Lord, we pray that we'd indeed again remember this people. Oh Lord, in all their varied needs, Lord, supply everyone, we earnestly pray. Go before them in all the untrodden future. Lord, may they see the Lord going before them, preparing the way, making the rough places plain, the crooked things straight, and the mountains to flow down at thy presence. Lord, may we hear those words that I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O Lord, may there be many who desire to declare such glorious truths, so that thy name may be lifted up. Lord, have mercy, we pray. Lord, remember the suffering church of God. Again, we would pray, Lord, for those in other lands who are penalized and imprisoned and executed and tortured because of their faith in the Saviour. Lord, support them in every trying hour. Lord, do graciously bless thy one church. And Lord, as we exist in a very easy situation, Lord, may we be so thankful for this. But Lord, we know thy word declares, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. And Lord, much is given to us, we acknowledge. And so, Lord, we realize much shall be required from us. And Lord, let us not therefore turn our back upon the things of God. And Lord, we pray therefore thou wilt bless thy church worldwide and all their needs. And we pray the Lord Jesus Christ may indeed be most precious to many, many people, especially those who suffer greatly physically, perhaps mentally, perhaps are ostracized by their families, perhaps they live a very lonely life. Lord, go to such, be with, comfort, and bless them. And Lord, we pray for thy mercy upon us as a nation. How far, Lord, we've wandered. We think, Lord, of the glorious Reformation which commenced about 500 years ago. And Lord, we've seen days of blessing, days of darkness and days of blessing. But now, Lord, we see our nation, for the most part, turn their back upon thee. Lord, there are many false Christs. Lord, there is much superficial religion. Lord, deliver from all us from all that is of the flesh. No, Lord, we pray that we'll revive thy work in the midst of the years, if thy holy will, in wrath, remember mercy. Lord God, we need thee so much. Without thee, we can do nothing. Without the work of thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, we shall receive nothing. Lord, do work. Thou hast said in thy word, I will work. O Lord, may we see it. May we bless our God for it. Lord, be with our young people in this day and age. those who perhaps have exams to take. Lord, help them, give them wisdom and ability to answer questions rightly. Those who perhaps are seeking places in further education, perhaps to places to work in, Lord, we pray for them that they may be directed by thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, may they know, and may they realize the blessing of coming to God in prayer, to the God who answers prayer. Lord, do then be with them, all our young people. Lord, help them day by day to commit their way unto the Lord, to trust also in him, believing that he will bring it to pass. And oh Lord, come and bless the young people. Lord, move mightily in their hearts. Perhaps for those who want husbands and wives, Lord, we pray they will go before them and grant that wonderful provision. Help them, Lord, to pray earnestly for these things and not just to merely look with a natural eye. Oh Lord, grant them that favour and liberty in prayer, seeking for a right partner in life. Lord, be with parents in this difficult age and grant them much wisdom and understanding to teach their children the right way. Oh Lord, bless them, we pray, in these things, and may their example be very telling to their children, that their children realise that their parents do worship the true God, and that that true God means something to them above all things else. And so we pray that parents may be a good example. We pray for grandparents also, grant them like ability to do that which is right and to set a good example. Those perhaps who have never had children, Lord, be with them. Be thankful, Lord, that thou canst greatly bless them, so that their children are more than those who've had natural children. Oh, we pray, Lord, that they may be wonderfully blessed in their lives, to pray for the young, to pray for those spiritual births, and Lord, that they perhaps may not labour naturally, but Lord, may they labour spiritually. And we know, Lord, thy word declares, when Zion laboured, she brought forth. Oh, may there be much bringing forth in this day and age. Oh Lord, help then every one of us in our respective situation. Let us realise, Lord, thou hast placed us in the place we are for such a time as this. Be with us now. Accept our thanks for every mercy. Forgive all our sins. And bless us indeed, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 766. Sovereign grace o'er sin abounding, ransom souls the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell. On its glories let my soul for ever dwell. Hymn 766.
praise God to bless us this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the Gospel of John and chapter 21, and we'll read verse 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, and reading verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. God works in amazing ways to accomplish his work and his plan. And we have in this account, in the 21st chapter of John, the situation where many of the disciples decided to go fishing. And they went fishing, and we're told what happened. And that night, they caught nothing. They were fishermen. They would have known what they were doing. And yet we see in the providence of God, they caught nothing. And it may be so in our lives, in a natural way. It may be also in a spiritual way. We may perhaps think we're doing things which are right and desiring God's favour and blessing, and yet we find there was nothing. That, of course, is not very encouraging and not very happy. But that was the position that these disciples were in. And then we find, having fished all night and the morning's dawned, and Jesus stands on the shore. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. As far as they were concerned, it was a stranger. But Jesus spoke to them, and he asked them a question. He said, have ye any meat, any food? And they answered him, no. And then the Lord directs them in this way. And if you stand back and think of the situation here, standing on the shore is a stranger speaking to them and now directing them what to do in order to catch fish. They knew not whether he had any knowledge of fishing himself. And yet the Lord comes and he says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. A very clear instruction. And yet you might have thought the disciples might have not been very happy to receive instructions from a stranger to a fisherman who had fished for their life and had been fishing all night, and to have a direction like this. Why should they obey such a direction? And yet you see we find that they did obey these words. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And what we have to observe is that God ordained this for his honour and for his glory. He brought it to pass. He did that which the disciples had been utterly unable to do themselves. And he brought about a great blessing. It wasn't as though they just caught one or two fish. They had great difficulty in bringing the fish to land, and there were 153 great fishes. And so here was God then working in this amazing way. No wonder sometimes in our lives, we may wonder perhaps why situations develop in our lives. Why we perhaps find ourselves doing things, perhaps saying things which we did not really expect to do and have to say. Well, here were the disciples in that situation. But God was with them. And God was to bring about the blessing. And they did not therefore disagree or argue, but they obeyed the word of this man. And of course, when this had been accomplished, and it would seem not until this had been accomplished, then it was that John came and said to Peter, "It is the Lord." His eyes had been opened to observe that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the effect on Peter was that he put on his fisher's coat and jumped into the sea to come to Jesus. And so we read the other disciples, they all then came and helped them, and they got to land all these fish. But again, we see the Lord's purpose in this. He then brought the disciples. He then fed the disciples. And we read, and as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." So Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, it was not the net broken. Again, another miracle, we might say, that the Lord ordained that a net should be strengthened to hold all those fishes. And so again, in our lives sometimes, the Lord may do that which seems impossible. Naturally speaking, with all those great fishes, the net would have broken. But the Lord was in it. If God be for us, who can be against us? And God was in all of this. The disciples didn't realize it to begin with. But the Lord came and revealed himself to these disciples, as it is not unto the world. And what a wonderful favour if in our lives circumstances develop so that the Lord comes and reveals himself unto us, that we do know it is the Lord. What a blessing that is. You and me in our lives, we're able to see, perhaps not at the time, but as we receive the blessing, to know that it is the Lord that was in it. And again, such a very simple thing. Just putting the net on the other side. No greater technique required. And how often that can be so in our lives. We might think, you remember Naaman the Syrian. He was told, wasn't he, to do a very simple thing. He was told to go and dip himself seven times in Jordan. And well, he thought, that's not a very important thing to do. I want something great to do. Well, if he'd had something great to do, he would have claimed the honour and glory. And therefore, his servants came and said, "Well, if you'd been asked to do some great thing, you would have done it. Why not do this simple thing?" And what did he do? He submitted himself to it. And of course, he dipped himself in Jordan and was made whole. And so, perhaps like this, here was a very simple thing to do. The disciples could have said, "Well, why have we got to do this? We fished all night. Surely this has no benefit." But they submitted themselves to do this. And so it might be in our lives. We might be expecting some great thing. some great thing to do perhaps. And yet you see, we must always remember that God will be honoured and glorified in our lives, not by great things that we do, so that we're able to come and say, well, of course, I did this and I said this and I prayed for this and God brought it to come to pass. And you know what would happen is you and I would claim some of that glory ourselves. God is a jealous God. And here the disciples could not claim any great ability for themselves. The Lord simply told them to cast their net on the other side. And there was a wonderful catch. The Lord was in it. We may not always realize in our lives, perhaps sometimes, the Lord is in things we find ourselves directed to do. What a favor to know that the Lord hasn't left us. The Lord hasn't forsaken us. He hadn't forsaken these disciples. Indeed, he was with them. And of course, there was yet to be much instruction and much teaching. And it all really came because of the favour that they had benefited from of producing that great catch of fishes. And so the Lord then asked them, he said, come and dine. Come and dine. Can there be a greater blessing? The Lord comes to you and me and asks us to come and dine. I wonder if we appreciate what that really means. Because if we think of it in the scriptural terminology, it really means to come and partake of the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not, of course, physically, but in that way of meditation upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And the Lord tells us, except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, there is no life in you. How wonderful then it is if the Lord comes and speaks like this, come and dine, to partake of this heavenly food. You see, such food is not of this earth. But to the living soul, to feed upon Christ is a wonderful blessing. As I mentioned in prayer, the Apostle Paul knew how wonderful and how blessed it was to partake of that true union with Christ. And that is not, you see, just in some airy-fairy way. It was to enter in to fellowship with his sufferings. Because in that condition, there is that true union. And we're then led to understand something of the cost of our salvation. It is, I'm sure, a most blessed evidence of the grace of God in our souls. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship with his sufferings. And in that path, it is then that we come to know in a more particular and a more special way union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, it brings us to this place that then Christ becomes precious to our souls, because we realize in a small amount what the cost of our salvation was. And what is it? The result is that we feed, our souls are fed. Well, has God come to us? Has he come and said, really, come and dine? Has he directed us to the Lord Jesus Christ? And to come, as it were, and stand at the foot of the cross, and to view the Lord Jesus Christ suffering in our place? Yes, he bore the punishment instead. It's a beautiful illustration, isn't it, that we have in Abraham's day when he was commanded to offer up Isaac. Well, he obeyed God. Let's never forget that. He didn't argue. He obeyed God, believing that God was even able to raise up Isaac from the dead. And therefore, he carried out the command of God right until he was about to slay his son, when God told him to stop and to take instead that ram caught by its horns in a thicket, and to offer that up as the sacrifice. The picture, of course, is substitution. Way back, those many, many years, that wonderful picture granted to Abraham and to us today, to realize that now the Lord Jesus Christ, he was our sacrifice. He was sacrificed instead of us. We deserve to die, but you see, our death would not have achieved anything. But what a wonderful thing to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he did die. He died to atone for our sins. Now, does this rejoice our heart? Is it food to our souls? Do we hear these gracious words, come and dine? Feed upon the Saviour by meditating upon what he has done, so that our souls are, as it were, set on fire. We rejoice in the great and glorious plan of salvation, and we rejoice so much more so if we have the wonderful evidence of the work of God's grace in our heart, so that we have a personal interest in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely then, this is food to our souls. Oh, these are so precious and so important to us. These are not just shallow things. These are the things which rejoice the soul. These are the things which bring honor and glory to God. As our very souls are moved, as we come to realize the great cost of our salvation, what a wonderful invitation. Come and dine. And remember, all this came about because of the Lord speaking to these disciples to cast their net over the other side. Something really very small. And yet you see what wonderful blessings followed from such a simple situation. And so they came, but we're told they didn't dare ask the Lord, who art thou? They knew that it was the Lord. Now, I believe that when the Lord comes and blesses us, we don't need to ask the question, because we know it is the Lord. We know it's his work and it's not our work. And therefore, we can understand what this is, knowing that it was the Lord. It's a wonderful favour if you and I are blessed in that way, to know it is the work of God in our souls, and that we are being fed by the Saviour himself, and that we are rejoicing in it. We'll rejoice, I believe, with trembling, because it is such a wonderful favour. And to realise that Christ has indeed been merciful to us. You know, the last verse of that hymn we sung, how true it is, on such love my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free, so he was lost in holy wonder. Why, O God, such love to me. And it is exceedingly humbling as the Spirit of God reveals these things to his people. And my friends, it's a great evidence of the life of God in our souls. And how necessary it is that you and I are the recipients of this wonderful blessing from God. And so Jesus said, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And then we're told that after, then when they had dined, Jesus now comes to Peter. Remember here earlier, Peter had jumped overboard to come to the Lord. We see how desirous he was, and let us not forget, it's only just a few days since Peter had denied his Lord and Master those three times with oaths and cursings. But don't forget that when the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, see, that look pierced his heart, and it had a most wonderful effect. He went out and he wept bitterly. It's good, and it's a favour when you and I can be moved by the Spirit of God because of his favour to us, his mercy, that we weep before him because of his goodness, because of his favour, because of his mercy. See, Peter never deserved it, did he? Nor do we. We're no better than Peter, are we? None of us can say, well, I wouldn't do that. No, we're only kept by the power of God. It's only the grace of God toward us. And so here then, the Lord comes, and it's very wonderful, you know, to think that here the Lord comes and addresses Peter in this very personal way. Sometimes we do need God to come and perhaps to address us in a very personal way. Especially perhaps if we've turned our back upon God, turned our back upon the Lord as Peter did, and realise that we don't really deserve any favour or mercy. And then to think the Lord comes to us. He came here to Peter and he asked him a very important question. There was no doubt who he was talking to. Peter, son of Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now that's a great question for Peter. It's a great question for all of us. See, do we love the Lord or no? What's that? What's the answer to that tonight? If the Lord speaks into our hearts, as he was here speaking to Peter and asking him this very important question, lovest thou me more than these? That means, very simply, did Peter love the Lord more than anything else? Was the Lord Jesus Christ truly precious to Peter's soul? This wasn't just a vague question, was it? It was a very real question. It was a very pointed question. And addressed as it was to Peter, but my friends, may it indeed be addressed to all of us. Yes, it's a great question, isn't it? Do we love the Lord or no? Well, what was the response by Peter? He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now the truth is that God does know whether we love the Lord or not. I can't tell. The person next to you can't tell. But the Lord knows. And he looks into our heart. And what a blessing that is. The Lord knows what he's put there. You see, it's his work. And if he's put his love in our hearts, then it is. There is that response from our heart to him. And it's all of grace. And it's all of his favour. And it's all of his mercy. And it's nothing that you and I have done. And so we see the very simple, very telling, very important answer. He was able to say, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And so tonight, if God, and I hope he does, asks us all this important question, that you and I may be able to respond in a like way, a positive way. Yes, we don't want to say, "Well, I don't really know." If the Lord has come and touched our heart, if the Lord has come and in some small measure perhaps revealed himself unto us as he does not unto the world, it is because of his love toward us. The Saviour doesn't reveal himself to those who are not his children. But yes, he comes and does reveal himself to his children. What a blessing it is when you and I are brought to that place. The Lord says, "Except you become as little children." No great ideas of ourselves. A very simple faith. Yes, come to the Lord just as a child. You know, if a child was asked this question, however young a child may be, if they are able to understand, if the Lord's touched their heart, they'd be able to answer, wouldn't they? Nothing complicated in this, is there? Very simple, but very important. Most important. Perhaps the most important question that you and I can be asked. "Lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." So the Lord says, "Feed my lambs." Doesn't stop there. Doesn't stop there. Remember, Peter denied his Lord 3 times. Perhaps we've denied the Lord 3 times, perhaps many times. Many times. We turned our back. People may have said, may have asked us, "You know, are you a Christian?" We may have ducked the issue. We may have turned our back. We may have been ashamed to confess our faith. In which case, you see, we'll need the Lord to come and to ask us this question. And perhaps we'll need and won't be surprised if the Lord asks us it again. It seems that the Lord asks Peter, you know, like this, to ascertain quite clearly. The Lord knew, of course, Peter's real desire from his heart. Yes, it's not just a mere form of words. These were words spoken by the Saviour into his heart. And what a blessing it is if God speaks to you and me. And so the Lord came and asked Peter the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Again, pleased and happy to be able to repeat the same answer to the same question. The Lord says, "Feed my sheep." But then, the third time. And this, of course, perhaps touched a chord in Peter's heart. Did the Lord really need to ask him again? Perhaps the Lord sometimes comes to us, as it were, and asks us again. Well, what was Peter's response? As Jesus came the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Isn't that wonderful? God looked right into Peter's heart. Peter knew it. And therefore he was able to say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest my innermost feelings. And knowest the real desire in my heart. And therefore he was able to come and say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Well, what a mercy for us tonight. If we can come and stand alongside Peter, however bad our life, how many times we may have denied the Lord, perhaps in words, perhaps in actions, and yet we see the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus, so great to unworthy sinners. And so he comes and asks this question, and the answer, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And then the Lord goes on, remember, all this follows because of this great favour that the Lord said to cast their net on the other side of the ship. You see how the Lord's great and glorious plan was worked out? From what I might appear just to be a very casual statement, wasn't at all. It brought all this to the fore for God's honour and for God's glory and for our encouragement. And then he spoke to the Peter and told him what kind of death he would have to endure. Have to endure. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he saith unto him, follow me. That wasn't an involved word, was it? It was a very simple word, but a very direct word. And my friends, it's a word to all of the people of God, without exception. And what a blessing it is to be found a true follower, to follow such a gracious Lord, one who's done so much, one who's given his life, one who's died on our behalf, one who set his love upon us, to come and speak in these words, follow me. Very simple. What a blessing it is if you and I are given grace to do just this. Peter did. Peter did. But yet also we realise that Peter also was concerned about others when he should be more concerned about doing that himself. Sometimes we look around at other people. My friends, God looks at us individually. And here was that situation. Because Peter... and then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple, who is John, he's leaned on his breast at supper, and he said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him says to the Lord, and what shall this man do? God had told him, God had said, follow me. Peter wanted to know what John was going to do. It wasn't relevant. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now these are wonderfully clear words, aren't they? And you know, it's a most blessed path to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will never lead us in a wrong way. The Lord will always lead us in a right way. And my friends, that way is a way to glory. It's a despised way. It's not a way the world will follow. But what a blessing it is if God gives us grace to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And to therefore realize that by his grace one day we shall be with him in glory. What is the object for you and me? What's our object in life? What's your object? If you were asked tonight, what's your object? Would you be able to say, to go and to be with Christ, which is far better? That's what the Apostle's pause was, wasn't it? Yes, he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. True it is. And so we have this wonderful example of the apostles and the Church of God as they look forward to that wonderful day when they will be united to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who did so much that they might receive the wonderful gift of eternal life. It is something, it's a gift, isn't it? You and I never merit it, we can't. What a blessing to receive it. You know, the Lord Jesus said when he wrote to the, when he was in the upper room to the disciples, and he said, I go and I will come again and receive you unto myself. What a wonderful prosper that is, to know the Lord will receive us unto himself. And so may we, all of us, be numbered amongst those who are a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he asks us this question, lovest thou me more than these? What does Christ mean to us? That's really the centre of all things, isn't it? And the hymn writer says, doesn't he? I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Because if we're parted from the Saviour, we shall perish in hell. And therefore, how wonderful it is if you and I are blessed with this true desire to seek after those things which are God-honouring and God-glorifying. And as we think of this account here that we've pondered on this evening, yes, it began with the Lord coming, and because the disciples, they hadn't caught anything. No, they hadn't had a happy experience. They'd caught nothing. But it was the right time for God to come. And God came. God comes in the right time, in the appointed time. He comes in a time to bless. What a favour it is if our souls are blessed, and if our hearts are moved by the Holy Spirit of God, so that we are able to answer to that great question, lovest thou me more than these? We're able to say, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And if so, the gracious word of God is, follow thou me. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £740.02, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Philip Hare will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday School in the afternoon. And God willing, the church meeting, which was postponed, will be held on Monday evening, the 22nd of May. Let us close with hymn 81. Well canst thou read thy heart, and feel the plague of sin. Does Sinai's thunder make thee start, and conscience roar within? Hymn 81.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.